morning. The Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network coming up. What's going on with the Chiefs besides Travis Kelce getting married? We will talk about that and their prospects for the upcoming season. We're also going to rank the worst quarterback rooms in the NFL. And we'll talk college football with Heather Dinich from ESPN and Douglas Farmer from Covers.com. I'm Jinx. She's Chelsea. It is a Thursday. Chelsea, how are you?
Yeah, good morning. It feels like college football. Like, I start to feel the anxiousness in my bones. Yesterday, as I was running and doing my exercise, I was listening to college football fight songs. I had my first pumpkin spice latte. Jenks, I know it's August 28th, and I said I would not break the seal until September 1st at least, but it feels like fall is here, and it's awesome. I'm not going to lie.
Hey, when you have college football, that's fall for me. I don't need the winter solstice or any sort of official fall date, which I think is in September, to make it fall for me. I need a little coffee. Actually, I don't even need coffee. I just need college football, and we get it today. So, yes, it's fall season. It's football time.
Yeah. Hell yeah, it is. So I was imagining I was like toting the rock on a 100-yard kickoff return while listening to some of the best like college band renditions of like fight songs. I listened to Neck by LSU. That's a good one that I can't really repeat on air, but it is a classic. What are some of your favorite college football type songs? Because I was looking at some of these playlists and there's not really that many that I knew of. Like, here's one that I was just looking up. Have you heard the Here Comes Saturday Night by Fall Out Boy? Who, I will say, quick aside, feels like the official band of college football.
Well, didn't they do a song last year for game day?
Did they? I don't know.
I don't know. I'm asking. I thought they did. I thought Fall Out Boy recorded a song or something like that.
I don't know if they had game day last year, but they went on like a 4-year run where they always just happened to drop new music in August, and then ESPN's like, hey, here's our new commercial. And Fall Out Boy.
Okay. Maybe that's what it is. But they definitely did something college football related. Yeah. So.
Yeah, because it feels like they've had a lot of songs that they have used for college football, but they were not made specifically for college football. Like Centuries. Okay. That was a big one, but they also released that on the radio, so it wasn't, like, tailor-made for football.
Right. Well, regardless, you were listening to fight songs yesterday? Man, that's next level. Like, running around like, well, let's see what they play when Kent State scores a touchdown.
Well, it was just the main ones, because I do like college football bands. Like, I think that's one of the nuanced type things of college football that's obviously a little different from the NFL. Like, I'm sure there's maybe an NFL team out there that has a band, but most of them don't. So it was just me getting in the spirit, and it did feel really cool. So I like college football fight songs. I like the bands. And there's also, like, some rap songs. Like, there is the next song that is, it's not their fight song, but it's like a rap song that they really like. So it's not, you know what I'm talking about, right?
I actually
it's not
don't.
Something. Oh, I can't repeat it.
You want to spit some
the
bars
lyrics
for
are
me?
Very, very dirty.
Oh, well, that's fine. That's fine. I'll look it up later on. But if you want to do a rendition, maybe a cleaner, you probably can't do it. But I'll look that up. I didn't realize that was a thing. It's funny how different colleges have, you know, fight songs, and then as an aside, they have other songs that they play that are just sort of part of the culture. You know what I mean?
Just right now,
like Enter Sandman is a perfect example at Virginia Tech.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
That's what I meant. Like
or Jump
the
Around and
play,
Madison.
Yeah, the playlist that I was listening to was a mix of college football fight songs and songs synonymous with certain football programs.
Yeah,
so like it was a good mix to get you hype. there you go. Look in the chat. That is the chorus, and they say that over and over again.
Well, I don't. They clean that up. Sure. Not a problem. well, now so. I get it. All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. Not really a family version you can make out of that. All right. Good. I'll look it up later. I wish I could look away from these bets over the past day or two, particularly for me. Yeah. God, I love my bets, but no, not good. Not great.
Yeah, I went 0-2 yesterday as well. It stinks when you come so close, too, because I had the Blue Jays on the run line for my best bet. Thought it was good plus money on the best one of the best teams in baseball. But the Blue Jays only won by one run, so that's an L. Had the Brewers on the money line, and they lost by a run to the Diamondbacks. So 0-2 for me. But, Jenks, we have a football weekend on the horizon, so I am not worried. I feel like we can have plenty of bets on Friday to make up for lost ground.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to chase. I got four bets on the card today. Let's go. Why not? 1-3-9 for me. At least the Rangers got a win. 20-2, which is absolutely insane. They just blew out the Angels. But outside of that, Diamondbacks beat the Brewers. I had D-backs Brewers over 8. D-backs win 3-2. I had the Jays on the run line as well. That was a loss. Donkster, pretty good. Braves money line against the Marlins. Braves win 12-1. So for the week, you're 1-3. I am 4-7. The Donkster is 2-1, but still plenty of time to make up some ground. It is the Daily Tip here on the BetMGM Network. Hope you're having a great Thursday morning. And let's start with some Kansas City Chiefs talk. And we are not going to talk about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. Maybe Kelce a little bit, because Chiefs receiver Rashee Rice suspended by 6 games from the NFL yesterday after violating the NFL's personal conduct policy. So this comes from last year when he was in Dallas and he was essentially speed racing because he went to SMU, so he was back home, and caused a chain reaction wreck. So there were some victims there who got injured in that wreck, and he eventually came to an agreement where at some point he's going to serve 30 days in jail. And he's going to pay the victims more than $100,000 for medical expenses. But because of that, the NFL says, all right, you're sitting out the first 6 games of this season. And this is a guy who was supposed to be the guy or one of the guys for this Kansas City offense. Only 4 games last year because of a knee injury. But 2 years ago, led the team with 79 catches, 938 yards, 7 touchdowns. When you look at the Chiefs receiver room, and you look at what should be a pretty tough schedule, are you worried about the Chiefs at all? Does this concern you? Or do you say, it's the Chiefs, it's Patrick Mahomes, it's Andy Reid, they'll be fine?
Well, we've seen this story before. Like, remember in, what was it, 2 years ago? When the Chiefs had all those receivers that would make boneheaded plays on the line of scrimmage, mm-hmm. and they would drop passes in the end zone. You know what the Chiefs did that year? They won the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So, like, yeah. Am I really going to sit here and be like, oh, they can have a real problem on their hands? Because for any other team, yes, I would say that, because it looks like they don't have a ton of depth. But Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid have overcome a lot when it comes to the receiver room. So I can't sit here and criticize it. We'll have to wait and see how it plays out. Obviously, it will not be easy, but the Chiefs, they deserve our respect.
Yeah, I'm not. I think the Chiefs are sort of interesting this year. Which I've definitely been guilty of having Chiefs fatigue in the past, just because of, yes, the Travis and Taylor thing, because of the State Farm commercials, which play, I feel like, every other commercial during the NFL season. And of course, I mean, the Chiefs move the needle because they've been so good and they've been so dominant. But seeing them get dominated in the Super Bowl by the Eagles was, I'm not going to say it was enjoyable, but it was like, oh. Like, now, how did the Chiefs recover from this? Now it's not, this is a juggernaut that can't be stopped. It's, all right, you still have plenty of pieces in place to continue this dynasty, but can you? And it's only one game, and the Eagles were the best team in football last year. But what do the Chiefs do to respond now? And I feel like that the Chiefs, a hungry Chiefs team, you know, that has something to prove now. Even Travis Kelce said, I don't want to go out like that. It's one of the reasons why he returned. And he's changed his regimen during the offseason. Like, I feel like a motivated Chiefs team and a hungry Chiefs team is a dangerous Chiefs team.
Right. I also think a lot of it might depend on their defense. Mm-hmm. Because the years that they have been really good, they've also had a really good defense. And that's why Patrick Mahomes has not had to put up great numbers. So we'll have to keep our eyes peeled on the defense that is not exactly the same as those Super Bowl years. They have lost some pieces. Some guys have gotten older. But I would imagine it's still going to be a good defensive unit. I think a lot of it is just relatively speaking to the other teams in the AFC. Yeah. Have the other teams in the AFC gotten better? And I think the answer is yes. Like, Josh Allen's coming off an MVP season. Maybe the defense can hold up their end of the bargain. And the Ravens, I know, are adding pieces to their defense. Lamar Jackson seems to be getting better each and every year. And also the question for the Ravens is, do they just disassemble when it comes to the postseason? Because they've always been really good in the regular season.
Yeah.
So I think those are the questions I have going into, you know, the AFC championship game, because it's really been the Chiefs invitational over the last few years. It's been the Chiefs. Oh, weird. They're in the AFC championship game again. So it would be strange if we have an AFC championship game and they are not included.
Can Xavier Worthy become that number one guy for this team? I don't, and I'm a Xavier guy, But I don't know if he is a number one receiver so much as he is a number two or a tool in the toolbox for Andy Reid. Do you know what I mean? Because you can feed him the ball on an end around. You can send him deep because he's so fast. I mean, he's one of the fastest players in the NFL. But I don't necessarily see him as this number one incredible route runner, always getting open, number one option. I think he is an option and maybe a number two, but I don't know if I see him as a number one. Do you?
Well, schematically, he doesn't fit the profile, right? Like,
right.
Am I mistaken here?
No,
because
that's
obviously,
what I
am not an offensive coordinator, but it just feels like they use him in certain goal line packages, and he's not like an every down guy. I do think if you're looking for somebody to, you know, scoop up the extra reps and the other catches, I think Travis Kelce could have a big year.
I
know
too.
It sounds very square because obviously he is at the pinnacle of celebrity talk right now. But still, he's in great shape. He's somebody who has gotten a ton of the reps before. And also, you know, he has that rapport with Patrick Mahomes. Like, they don't have to develop any chemistry. They've been together forever. But I do think if he can stay healthy, because that was the thing last year. He wasn't extremely healthy, and he did look a little slow. Mm-hmm. I don't even think that's unfair. He did look slow.
Yeah.
But he's still very hard to cover. Like, that's the thing. He's not a speed demon. He's a guy that's going to get you in the middle of the field. And I do think that he is primed for maybe another big season. Also because the Chiefs don't have many other options.
No, they don't. And I think that this is, I think there's a few things going on here. And I don't want to put this back into the Taylor Swift lane. But I'll say this, you know, reading about Travis Kelce and his last year, he was doing so much because he was everywhere, right? Like he was in Europe with Taylor Swift, touring with her, or at least on the tour. We'd see him come on stage, and he had trainers with him. Like, he would work out and make sure he stayed in shape while being on this tour. He was also shooting a pretty significant part in Happy Gilmore 2, so he was busy there. So he was doing a lot of different things that, of course, are perfectly fine, but even if you have trainers with you, even if you have a staff with you, it's easier to get away from doing more football work when you're so busy. And so during this past offseason, he didn't do any of that. He is really focused on his workout regimen. That's why he's lost 25 pounds. That's why he says he's in better shape than he's been in a long time. So if you're talking about him having a bounce back year, you take all of that into account and the fact that he's motivated, almost retired at the end of last year and said, no, I don't want to go out like that. I'm motivated to come back and finish the right way. I want to finish with a title and not going out the way we did. And so I do think that there is a real case for him being much better than he was last year. And when you think about the work he's put in, it sort of makes sense.
Yeah, especially if you think this is going to be his last year. Because don't you think, like, we see this with athletes all the time, when it's a contract year, when it's their final year before retiring and they know it, we get a good effort out of them. And I'm not saying that the effort wasn't there before. It's just sometimes, like, we talk about this from a prop standpoint. Is it, like, if somebody's going for something and they're well-respected on the team, the quarterback tries to get the ball to them. So, like, that already happens with Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. So, from that standpoint, I think he's going to have a big year as well.
I'm excited. The one thing I'm not excited about is the State Farm commercials ramping up again. Oh, man. Who's that guy? The guy, you know what's interesting about commercials in the NFL and just in general about how increasingly they have someone who is this ongoing star for the commercials? Like, they have that guy, the State Farm guy. They have Flo at Progressive. She's been around forever. And now they're trying to turn the Capital One guy into a thing where it's like, oh, this guy, he's the, you know, I don't know how I feel about it. I think we need to go away from that trend. Like, I'm tired of Flo. I'm tired of the State Farm guy. And I don't like the Capital One guy.
Have you noticed they're all getting better looking? Like, what happened to, like, quirky looking people? Now, like, the State Farm guy, like, towers over Derek Jeter. Have you seen that commercial? He's really tall.
Is he? I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Dylan, thank you for correcting me. He's like, hey, show some respect. His name is Jake. All right. Jake from State Farm. What are you doing? Give the guy, say his name. All right. It's Jake. So there you go. Sorry about that, Dylan. State Farm guy. Coming up on the show, I got to have a Red Bull number one. I'm going to start with that during the break. And then it's the return of a local legend to Minnesota. But at what cost? That is Chelsea Messenger. I'm Michael Jenkins. We're just getting started. It's a Thursday on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Welcome back. Give me some Double D. I think I can go in here. I got a Red Bull. There we go. Oh, it's a college football Thursday, baby. Look at Boise State, USF tonight at 5:30. Get out of town. Sounds great. I'm ready for that. Coming up on the show, how much would you give a local legend? We're going to talk about Adam Thielen returning to Minnesota and then rank some of the worst quarterback rooms in the NFL in 20 minutes, which should be fun. So yesterday, I was reading about Arch Manning, and I know everyone is giving me the collective eye roll, but I'm very fascinated by how you were able to manage like that sort of fame in the social media age. Because you can make an argument now with social media that he is the biggest name to play in college football. And I mean, maybe ever, at least hype wise, right? Like he's everywhere. So I was reading that, okay, his younger brother is at Texas as well, Hyde Manning. So that helps, right? Like he has a family member there. He likes that it's a big city because there are places he can go in Austin where people don't care who he is or don't know who he is. And he likes that. He can kind of get away. But the funniest thing about it all is that, you know, the Manning family, of course, has different personalities, right? Eli is, you know, kind of keeps it simple, whereas Peyton is the cerebral quarterback. And so Arch was telling a story where he reached out to both brothers and said, hey, I'm having issues, or I threw an interception during a two-minute drill. What sort of advice would you give me? And Eli texts back, hey, man, just keep it simple. Look for the guys in the same color jerseys. Peyton texted back a 30-minute voice memo, which sounds like the exact thing you would expect Peyton Manning to do. Like, imagine you get a 30-minute voice memo from Peyton Manning on how to handle a two-minute drill. It doesn't surprise me at all, and I just thought it was hilarious.
I wonder which strategy works best for... How old is Arch Manning? How old is he?
I don't.
Like, he's still young, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
he's not 24 or anything.
No.
My point being is that sometimes I wonder if you tell kids, or like even like young men, like if you tell them too much, they're not going to absorb it all. Yeah. Like, obviously, I am trying to coach my daughter, who is 5, who maybe is a touch below Arch Manning in Texas. Bit. But do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Is sometimes I do think it helps to keep things simple and be like, hey, just focus on the receivers instead of like, you are looking at this type of coverage and next time you need to watch this man. Because not everybody has the brain that works as quickly as Peyton Manning. Because think about it. Like, he can absorb all of this so quickly because he's an NFL veteran and one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game. So sometimes I think those type of people are not always the best teachers for people who are not on that skill level.
Oh, I agree. So, didn't put this in the chat. Arch just turned 21. And, you know, when you're that young, like, you're
young.
Quite literally, your brain is still developing. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're still, like, not a finished product. And so, I think that's a good point, which is sometimes keeping it simple is the best way to do it. It's like the old broadcasting moniker, which was KISS, keep it simple, stupid. Like, a lot of times when you're first starting out in this business, you're trying to get so much information into a live shot or something, and it, not to say you don't want to be accurate and source correctly and all those different journalistic things, but at the same time, if you're talking for a minute, you can only say so much. So just keep it simple, stick to the facts, and don't overthink it, I think is the broader term.
Well, especially because think of your audience. Like, they're not experts on the topic, so you have to talk like you're talking to an everyday person. So I think sometimes people who are at the very elite level kind of struggle with trying to bridge that gap between them at the very top and normal everyday people because it feels so out of touch for them. Like, imagine like Nick Saban trying to explain coaching to somebody who's coaching a team of 5-year-olds.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you'd be like, I mean, even now as an adult, I'm trying to, like, I know the game, but I'm not some sort of expert, and I'm not one of those people that believes that, oh, if you didn't play, you can't know. Like, you can learn whatever you want to learn without necessarily having the, you know, what would be considered the requisite experience. But I will watch from time to time ex-athletes talk about things that they're seeing on tape and try and learn, because I'm like, this is just a little bit more nuanced that maybe I can apply to my own skill set. And even then, sometimes I'm like, all right, I gotta rewind here because this is a lot, you know, and I'm a grown man. But even then, at a certain level, people who are experts who have done it at the highest level, like, they have an amount of knowledge that sometimes you have to break down in bite-sized pieces.
Yeah, it's like when you read the Bible, you're like, wait, what?
Yes.
What was that word?
I was like, whoa,
like,
read that
you
passage
have to
again.
Read each sentence three times, or even like whatever big book you want to put in there. Like, I remember in high school when we were reading like some of the classics, like Crime and Punishment, War and Peace, it would take so long to read a page because it takes so long to absorb like how complicated these sentences are. It was a far cry from like the Berenstain Bears, which are my personal favorites.
Well, it's a classic. But yeah, I feel that way myself. I'm like, all right, wait. Let me look at this play again. I want to understand what you're trying to say here. So it definitely applies if you're 21 and still learning the game, and your brothers are, you know, Hall of Famers or potential Hall of Famers. Okay, so yesterday in the NFL, since that's kind of where we're headed, Adam Thielen got traded back to the Vikings after a couple years with the Panthers. So Carolina gets a fifth-round pick in 2026 and a fourth-round pick in 2027. The Vikes get Thielen, who is 35, a seventh-rounder in 2026 and a fifth-rounder in 2027. Do you like this move? I think this is perfect for Minnesota.
Yeah, especially if you need a spot to fill what you're going to be missing with Jordan Addison. Mm-hmm. So especially somebody who everybody absolutely loves with his time that he spent with Minnesota before, and especially when you have a younger quarterback, I think these type of guys are really helpful. You need somebody who's going to know how to run a good route and somebody who can help a young quarterback along. So I think it's a great move.
Yeah, I do too. And J.J. McCarthy and Thielen worked out during the offseason together, and I don't think you can overestimate how important it is when you are a younger quarterback to have someone you can rely on, like just that steady presence in the locker room and on the field, because these veterans, they know how to get open, they know how to communicate, they know the game, there's things you can learn from them. And having a guy like that that you already have a rapport with because you guys were together during the offseason is huge, and it adds to that receiver room. I know his numbers have dropped somewhat. Last year in 10 games, 48 receptions, 615 yards, 5 touchdowns. But again, that's only in 10 games, and he actually was really productive in the second half of the season. So I know he's 35. I know he's past his prime. But I think this is a very solid addition, especially, again, when you have a young quarterback who's going to need as many options as possible.
Yeah, if he can stay on the field, like, I still don't think 35 means what it used to mean. Like, 35, people are still taking very good care of their bodies. And also, like, back in Carolina, he was not in a pass-happy offense or an offense that was super productive.
Right.
You know, with Bryce Young. Fair. I am not saying that J.J. McCarthy will be a huge step up. I'm just saying the offense as a whole will probably work a little bit better. Because think about it. Like, if you're lining up, you know, on the opposite side of like Justin Jefferson, that's where the defensive attention's probably going to be. And it does look like Justin Jefferson should be ready to go for week one. I know he's been nursing some injuries, but I still think it's a great spot for Adam Thielen. And of course, you know, the fans like to see people like this as well. So if you have to overpay for him just a little bit, I think it's still worth it.
And also, Jordan Addison is going to be out for the first three games. So he's been suspended for conduct detrimental to the team. That was stemming from a DUI arrest last year. And that was a situation where the charges ended up being reduced, but he still has to serve that suspension. So Thielen will be even more important to start the year with the Vikings. How much would you give up to bring back a local legend? I know you said, okay, well, you overpaid a little bit. And I think the Vikings did it just right. Like, okay, you move down around in 2026 and 2027 in the late round, and you bring a guy back who is beloved. So I think this is sort of the perfect price. At what point do you sort of quit giving someone the old hometown discount, or maybe overpaying because you just want them a part of your organization and it's good vibes?
Well, I think this is not a move that will put your organization underwater. Like, these are not the ones that, like, destroy your payroll. We would be talking about the mega deals. And, Jenks, I feel like you have a good, you know, end to talk about this because Terry McLaurin, you know, you could say that they wanted to give him a hometown discount because he has been there through the bad and the good. So, do you think that he got any type of discount? Because we did get the details of his contract. And I feel like Adam Peters is better at his job than I think people realize.
I think Adam Peters nailed it. I think he nailed it. Because when you look at, look, there are incentives built in. But ultimately, when you look at average annual value, it's right there around $29 million, which is sort of where a lot of people thought that key number would be. So, I hate to say this side won or this side won, but I feel like Adam Peters stood his ground and, you know, did something that will be beneficial for the team. And ultimately, this is about looking forward to making sure Jaden Daniels gets paid here during the final year of his rookie contract, and so that you're not hamstrung there. So they're going to have to pay him God knows how much money. I mean, probably $70 million a year or something ridiculous, which he will deserve. But I think this is a win for both sides, and Terry is still getting his money, a lot of it up front, but it's certainly not in that DK Metcalf range, which we kept hearing was one of the demands. I will say it was kind of cool when I was out at Commanders, let me do this, Tuesday, and so I'm getting ready to leave. We shot the podcast, and I walk out, and as you walk into the facility, there's a huge, like, series of TV screens. It's just this big video board, essentially. So I walk out from around the hallway, and there's this big graphic that says Scary Terry, signed, sealed, delivered, something like that, right? And I turn and I see Dan Quinn, like, beaming, like, not just he is standing in front of this monitor, and he's just like, he's so happy and he's beaming. And then there's like a gathering. I'm like, what? Something's going on here. I don't know what it is. And then as I'm trying to walk out, I realize Terry is just arriving after signing that deal. So he's hugging everyone, you know, he's dapping people up. Oh, I appreciate you. So everyone was so happy to have him back. And I realized I'm walking out as he's walking in and everyone's celebrating him officially being back. And of course I was tempted to like pull out my phone. I was like, this is not my place. I'm just gonna, you know, slide out of here. But it was really cool to see, and everyone seemed very happy that this was finally done. So I think Adam Peters did stand his ground, but I feel like Terry in the end, he got taken care of. It's a win-win.
Yeah, and it does feel like both sides are happy now. Mm-hmm. I do think the way to do it for guys who are on the older end of things is make it incentive-laden. Because wasn't that the case with Terry McLaurin? Like, it's a lot of incentive. So it can be up to, what is it, $96 million, something in that range?
Yep.
If he hits all of his incentives. So that's how you do it for older people. Like, for older people.
For older
people. For geriatric. You get what I'm saying.
No,
guys,
I know
who are over 30 in the NFL, to keep them, you know, on the right path. Because sometimes, I'm not saying Terry McLaurin does this. I feel like the Titans need to do this with a lot of their, like, big-name, you know, signees after the age of 30. But I do think that's the way to do it. And also, like, these little types of things, I feel like maybe we don't hear about all of them, but they go a long way. It's like we all have a friend that does, like, little things for you, like send you a card on your birthday, and it just makes you feel special. And, like, I have experienced this from a baseball side of things where you go to an organization and they do all these little things. They have somebody who is in charge of this. They hire extra people to do things like this.
Yeah.
And you notice. You're like, wow, I feel like a family here. They're doing all these things for me. And then you go to a team that doesn't do it. And you're like, wow, this is terrible. Why would anybody choose this team? So those little things, they do make a difference.
Oh, 1,000%. I mean, you could feel kind of the joy in the room. And I slunk out. I'm not gonna sit there and start high five. Yes, awesome, man. Great to have you back. You know, be like, what is this guy doing here? So I was like, time for me to leave. I'm gonna go. But you're right about that. And also, I mean, as an example in the other direction, and this is a story 4 or 5 days ago, where the Bengals, of course, was the Bengals, so cheap, where they invited former players to come back. And one of those players, Boomer Esiason, one of the greats in franchise history, to be inducted into their Ring of Fame. And they sent out the invites, and they wanted them to pay their own way. They were like, hey, we reserved a block of rooms at, like, the Renaissance Inn or whatever it was, Residence Inn. Go ahead and just call, and you'll get the discounted rate. And he was like, are you serious? Like, I, and like, what a slap in the face. Like, hey, we're inducting you into our Ring of Honor, Ring of Fame, whatever it is. But, you know, you got to pay your own way to get here. Come on, dude.
These are billion-dollar franchises.
Yes.
Like, they are not hurting for money. They're making money hand over fist, and they can't spend $179 a night for their legends.
Right. Yeah, it wasn't like at the Four Seasons, and even then, it is a billion-dollar organization. Like, you can hook them up. I couldn't believe that. It's a crazy story. But, of course, it's the Bengals. Coming up next, would you rather have Daniel Jones or Justin Fields in your quarterback room? Oh, yeah. You're going to have to think about that. We're going to rank the worst quarterback rooms in the league. That's coming up next on the Daily Tip here on the BetMGM Network. Great to have you with us on a Thursday. The Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Oh, man. College football tonight. Nothing like being locked into a Boise State football game. Taking on South Florida. Starts at 5:30. When you go to bed as early as I do, like, this is perfect. I mean, I went out last night and I was still in bed by 8:45, like a nerd, which is the worst. But I will stay up and watch the completion of this game. So I'm super excited.
Jenks, NC State plays tonight. My school's playing.
My bad.
Not
my
that
bad.
I'm the real...
God. My bad. Sorry.
Oh, I wouldn't know because my team's favored to win the national championship. We don't really concern ourselves with teams outside the top 50.
Are you talking... This is football for you guys, right? Football. ECU, this is a rivalry. You guys hate ECU.
Here's what's difficult is I see everybody on NC State, and we've seen insane line movement on this game. So it opened at 12.5. Now it's all the way up to 14.
Yeah.
But ECU, man, like, it feels like they play us closely all the time. Like, I don't know if they catch us sleeping. Even the year when we had Russell Wilson as our quarterback,
yeah,
he threw like 3 picks and we lost the game, like, outright. So I don't know what it is about ECU. They always play us tough. NC State is 14-point favorites. I don't know about that. So I know a lot of people are on it, but I will not be one. There is a scandal brewing for ECU, though. I don't know if you've seen this, James.
No.
So apparently one of their coordinators, I don't know. I don't even know if I want to repeat this because I'm not sure if it's true.
Okay.
So allegedly there was somebody sending direct messages and they got leaked. And this guy is married, has Bible verses in his profile. So I'm not going to say the names because it hasn't been confirmed, but it has been floating all over the internet.
I always love I got a lot to look up. I got to start learning the lyrics to Next so I can report them or recite them tomorrow. I got to look up this story. And I always find it ironic when sometimes, not all the time, I don't want to, you know, paint this broad brush, but I'm sure you've seen this before where someone will say something really nasty to you online. And then you go to their Twitter profile, and there's some sort of Bible verse. I'm like, okay, well, you know, those two things are pretty incongruent.
And you're like, what?
Practice kindness.
Kindness?
Right. Or someone insulting a woman, and it's like, father of three beautiful girls. I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing here? You see that all the time. It's maddening.
It's always those people. So beware of the people who have Bible verses in their bio, when they're like, faithful and loving husband. You're like, are you? But hopefully it's not the case. I am not that much into the rivalry where I would like stir the pot like that, because that's the problem. It came from Barstool Pack.
Okay.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Is yes, you gotta
I'm a little
check that.
Suspicious.
Right.
So we'll see how that pans out, but I don't know if it plays a factor in the game.
No. I don't know. I got to look into that. I got some stuff to do. We got some stuff to do right now. We're going to rank quarterback rooms in the NFL. Denton, you want to come in here? Want to do this?
I think this is going to be fun. So we've talked a lot about quarterbacks over the last couple of days and weeks. Obviously, it's football season.
Mm-hmm.
Position is kind of important. And we have made fun of a lot of teams because, holy cow, there are some teams that are in hell right now in the quarterback room. So I thought it would be fun to revel in their misery, and we are going to rank the absolute worst quarterback rooms. I have given you 5 potential options here, and you are going to power rank them from number one being the worst of, like, I think this team sucks.
Okay.
I think all of these options are bad, to number five being they still suck, but they don't suck as much as everybody else.
Okay. Fair enough.
So your options are we have the New York Giants with Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, and Jackson Dart. Jackson Dart, if you have paid attention to the Giants Twitter universe, is their savior. Good luck with that. Yeah, the Cleveland Browns with Joe Flacco, Dylan Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders. Been a very quiet offseason from them. You got the New Orleans Saints, who we talked about yesterday, with Spencer Rattler, Zesty Jake Haner, and old-ass Tyler Shuck. You got the Indianapolis Colts with checkdown Daniel Jones, Anthony Richardson, and the Saint Riley Leonard. His cousin was my Uber driver once, so I like him. And then you have the New York Jets with Justin Fields and Tyrod Taylor.
What a blockbuster list.
It's like a depressing showcase showdown. Like, I choose to not bid on anything.
Yeah. How about a brand new Ford Focus? Like, okay.
A Dodge Dart. Yuck. What that car? Point,
this is like, how about a brand new chair? You like one chair?
Yeah.
Can I get two
just
for the table?
Just a chair.
A brand new lawnmower. You're like, so I'm a girl that lives in the city. I don't need a lawnmower.
I tell you what I don't need. I'll give you my number one worst quarterback room. I feel like we're all on the same page here. It's the Saints, right? It has to be the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Spencer Rattler, Jake Haner, oh my God, and Tyler Shuck. Spencer Rattler is your QB1. Maybe he steps it up this year, but if that's your starting quarterback, woof. Saints number one with a bullet for me. Easily the worst quarterback room in the NFL and the worst team in the NFL.
I think it's a unanimous decision, like the worst quarterback room in the country. And I feel like I should note before moving forward, this is weighted. So if your, you know, starting quarterback is terrible, that is a huge anchor to this. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, some of these ratings moving forward is like, okay, which quarterback who is quarterback one, are they better than the other one? Because some of these quarterback rooms are just all around terrible. So I'm going to go Saints number one. I'm going to go Colts number two, because I think a lot of this is, do you think Daniel Jones is better than Joe Flacco? And here's the other thing. Like, Anthony Richardson counts for something in these ratings, and he is just terrible. So I think I would put the Browns ahead of the Colts. So we're going to go Saints, Colts, Browns, Jets, Giants. That's my order.
Okay. I'm a little bit different. I'm going Saints, Colts, Jets. Wait, did you say Saints, Colts, Jets, Browns, Giants? So I have the Giants as the best. I think we have what? Browns and Jets switched?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right.
What is it about? Justin Fields has more upside. Like, I think the upside for Justin Fields is better than what we get for Joe Flacco. Because, like, I'm not super high on Justin Fields. Just because I think we've seen this story before. He's fine when he's on a good team. And if he has, like, adults around him, you know, when he was playing for the Steelers, he was just fine. But when he was with the Bears, like, it was, like, you see the highlights of him running, and you're like, wow, that's awesome. But can he complete a first or a third down conversion? And the answer was no. So when you're like, we still have questions about him as a passer, Jenks, how many times does that work out in the NFL? When you have questions about a quarterback as a passer, like, this is not college football. You can't run past everybody unless your name's Cam Newton.
Well, I mean, you're absolutely right about that. When you have questions as a passer, it's the same thing that I've said before about Anthony Richardson, which is there were questions about his accuracy. I'm like, teaching accuracy, you know how difficult that is? It's almost impossible. You can teach, okay, we need to work on your footwork. We need to maybe practice on you know, your throwing motion or getting the ball out quicker. But making someone more accurate is, or just a better passer, like in the NFL, good luck. I think the reason why I like the Jets a little bit more than the Browns is because I was thinking about the room as a whole. So, yes, I would take Joe Flacco over Justin Fields. But Tyrod Taylor has made a really nice career for himself in the NFL for a long time. So when I go from Joe Flacco to Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders, those are bigger names just because of social media and all the attention, and we saw what they did in college. But they've proven nothing in the NFL, right? absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. They've never played a single game. Tyrod Taylor has been a serviceable and pretty good player for a long time in the league, so that's why I gave the edge to the Jets.
Yeah, and I want to say thank you, Denton, for trying to be nice and not including my Tennessee Titans in this. But like the Titans, there is a lot on the shoulders of Cam Ward. And here's the thing as well. Like, if we're talking about quarterback rooms, if your only if your main quarterback is a rookie, like, you're already kind of behind in the standings. Like, here's the quarterback room for the Titans right now. It is Cam Ward and Brandon Allen. End of list. Will Levis is hurt. That's Oof. Not a good quarterback room.
I mean, it's not great.
If Cam Ward gets hurt, it's Brandon Allen. And then if Brandon Allen's not good, we don't have another gear to go to. So I think the Titans probably should have made this list as well.
That's not great. I didn't realize that was the list. And how has Cam Ward looked? Very, okay. I keep hearing, you've got a live arm. I'm like, okay, that's great. But what else is going on?
And he also looked great before they put pads on. And then they started, like, wearing full uniforms. And then things went downhill. You're like, uh-oh.
That's not good. I will say the Giants have a decent quarterback room. Like, they're easily the best on this list. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Easily. Mm-hmm. Like, they have Russ, and I understand he's not prime Russ, but still a very good quarterback. Or, you know, someone who can drive the car. Jameis can come in at any time. And then Jackson Dart. I honestly believe Jackson Dart is going to be starting for the Giants by middle of the season. They really like him, and he's looked really good in the preseason. They went after him for a reason during the draft. Like, the Giants quarterback room, pretty good.
It's very easy to make fun of Jameis Winston, but he is still a veteran in the NFL.
Yeah.
And I do think that makes your quarterback room, if we're talking about quarterback rooms as a whole, it makes them better when there is a veteran that, you know, knows the cadences, can kind of help some of the young guys learn, like, the nuances of running an offense. Not that Jameis Winston is, like, the smartest teacher or whatever, but still, like, he knows how to do things. And I will say this. He is a locker room guy. If you've watched any of his videos, try not to be in a better mood after you hear from Jameis Winston. I feel like he's electric. And you need this type of positivity, because in the NFL, it will wear you down. It is a losing game. So I think his positivity, as much as we make fun of him, is still a very good thing.
Oh, 1,000%. And that's why we see a lot of times, we see this on a regular basis. Sometimes a team will draft a rookie and say, all right, you're starting week one. We're going to throw you into the fire. And sometimes they say, let's bring you along slowly because we've got a veteran here who can make you better because of that experience. So, you know, it's not surprising you see a Joe Flacco or someone like Russ starting. And it's going to be happening here in about a week and a half. Up next, week one. College football, and we're going to make our season predictions. That is next on the Daily Tip.